Welcome to the Yoko Miwa Show. I'm Jason Crane. I administer Yoko's website, and in my own life I do a bunch of things with jazz musicians, including interview them. So Yoko and I decided it would be fun to launch a show to let you know more about her. This is the first episode, and we hope you enjoy it. Well, Yoko, welcome to the first episode of your own podcast. This is pretty exciting.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I thought what we could do, I think people are really interested in who you are as a person. At least, you know, that's the impression I get from people on Facebook and from people on Twitter and from your website. It seems like, you know, you have an interesting story, kind of an uncommon jazz story, at least here in the U.S. And so I thought, well, maybe we could do for your fans and for people just getting to know you is kind of tell them that story over the next few episodes of this show. And maybe where we could start is just talking about where you grew up. What town did you grow up in? What was it like?
Okay. All right. I'm from Japan, and I grew up in a city. It's called Kobe. Actually, you say Kobe in America, but we say Kobe.
That's right. A lot of people in America will know it because it's famous for beef, right?
Right. Kobe beef. Yes, the cows, they drink beer and then they get massaged. So amazing life. And yes. Beef is so good. Very expensive, even, you know, in Kobe. So that's my city. We have ocean and mountain. We have both. And I used to go to beach, you know, every weekend with my parents. And after the school, you know, when I was in high school and stuff, after school, I went to beach. And it's such a beautiful city. And actually, we have the longest suspension bridge in the world in my city, very near to my house. It's a beautiful bridge. The color changes every hour, like a rainbow color, you know, pink and yellow. So my sister lives very close to my parents' house where I grew up. So they're very close. And she lives right near that beautiful bridge.
And where does the bridge go from and to?
From my city, which is, it's called, it's not center of Kobe. It's a little bit more west side.
Okay.
Akashi Bridge goes to tiny island. It's called Awajishima. Oh, that's where you used to live, no? You lived in...
No, I lived in two different places. The first time I lived in Miyagi-ken in...
Oh, okay.
Near Sendai. And the second time I lived in Yokohama. So no, near Kobe.
I was confused. So goes to tiny island, Awaji Island. And go to the another island. It's called Shikoku. So it's a kind of long bridge.
And so what did your parents do for a living, for example? What kind of house did you grow up in? What was your family like?
My mom was housewife. Basically, she stayed home, and then she had to take care of my dad's parents. We lived kind of together. Our house was next to my dad's parents' house.
Yeah, we should say for listeners who aren't familiar with Japanese culture that it's very common for a sibling, often the oldest sibling, to take care of parents as they get older, often in the same house or they live very close by. So yeah. That was the situation when you were growing up. You had your grandparents right there.
Right. My dad's parents were right there and they live in the same property. So I saw them almost every day. And my dad, he was an engineer. So he was, you know, drawing, like, how do you call
it?
All
blueprints
the,
for?
Yes.
Okay.
Like machines and stuff. You know, I don't know exactly what
he's
doing. But he was really a hard worker. And, you know, even weekends, he was drawing you know, graph and, you know, all kinds of stuff in his room, and heavy smoker, of course.
Also and, very common in Japan.
Yes. I opened his door and hi, Dad. And you don't see him. It's all smoke.
Just yeah, a cloud of smoke.
Why? You know, so that was his life. Of course, he retired many years ago.
Sure.
But that was his life, you know, working, working, working. So he wasn't really like home all the time, you know, like working.
Did you have a piano in your house from when you were little?
No, actually, I started from organ. So the old style, like you have at the school, like you have to pump the air on your
foot. Oh, wow.
Pump, pump, you know. So that was my first thing. I loved it. I loved playing that organ. All day long, I was around 4 years old. And I was say I don't know what I was playing because I didn't take piano lesson, you know, that time. So
sure.
But I was just playing something all day long. So I guess I was improvising something already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have always said on when I'm not doing things with your site, I host a show called The Jazz Session, and I've always said on that show that it seems like kids start out improvising and then they forget how to do that because they get taught how to do things in a certain way, and then if they're lucky, they remember or get reintroduced later on to the idea of improvising.
Yeah, I teach at Berklee College of Music, and I have a lot of students, amazing students there, but also I have a couple really young students at my place. And then I'd sometimes let them just play something, you know, instead of just following the book, and then they want to play something, and then actually they improvise pretty good. Like, wow. I just listen to them, like I should be learning from them something, you know. very creative,
yeah.
And not afraid to play anything. So
why was that organ in your house? Did one of your parents play it, or did they just get it for you?
No, it was there. I don't know how it got there, but I remember it was just there, and I was playing all day long, and I really loved it. And I told my mom, I want to take a piano lesson. And then she said, not yet, you're too young. So, and then eventually my mom got upright piano, and for me. And my sister, she plays piano too. So I think we're playing together organ. And then I remember I was so excited to get the piano. I knew it's coming. I was so excited. And then once we got the piano, I loved it. I couldn't stop playing.
And so you were taking lessons with somebody in your town nearby there?
Yes, and finally my mom said, yes, you can take a piano lesson. So that was like maybe 5 years old. And yes, she was, you know, like she was teaching a lot of kids very close to where we live. And I was, you know, I have a perfect pitch, so which I can hear, if I hear something, I can just play. Even, you know, when I was that young, I was playing something from TV or radio or anything. You know, I was playing songs, and I couldn't wait to show that to the piano teacher and on the first lesson. But once we started to, lesson, I had to learn how to read. And I didn't like it at all because of my years. And I wanted to quit after a while. And my mom really tried to help me how to read and how to count. And then, but I couldn't understand very well how to count, you know, counting and stuff. It was really difficult. And I remember I was crying and I didn't want to go to piano lessons. But my mom just took my hand like, let's go, we have to go, we have to go. And after a while, I learned how to read. Then I was so happy. I can play anything I want. And I just, you know, again, I couldn't stop playing, you know, reading and playing.
In those early years, when you were still a small child, what kind of music were you learning in your lessons?
You know, something, it's, the book is, I never seen in here. It's called Bio. It's like all, like really short, like four majors song, or eight majors song, or some kids song, traditional songs, or then eventually I learned very easy classical piece, you know, the study from Mozart or something like that.
Sure. And did your mom know how to read music? You said she was helping you figure out how to count and things like that.
I guess she knew how to read it because she plays Japanese instruments. She used to play Japanese instrument. It's called shamisen.
Sure, which many people will have seen. It's kind of a, it looks a little bit like a guitar, kind of a long, thin neck.
Right. And has actually the real one has the cat.
Right.
The skin, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that anymore, but, you know, she had the one. And also she played the instrument called koto, which is you sit down on the, you know, the floor and then you play like
it's kind of like a horizontal harp almost. But isn't the music for those instruments, isn't there a different kind of musical notation?
Right, very different notations. You're right, more like numbers and stuff.
Sure.
Yes, but somehow she knew how to. Maybe she learned with me.
That's a good
she
point.
She was learning with me, you know. But she That's was cool. really, really good at those instruments. Yes, I learned koto also. I love those instruments, especially koto. Is a beautiful instrument, like a Japanese scales. It has, you know.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I remember when the first time I lived in Japan, I took some koto lessons, and then I also improvised with a koto player. I played soprano saxophone, and I played with him, and I just, it was so much fun. And it's that instrument is so rich and beautiful. You just feel like you're just surrounded by sound when you are sitting next to a koto being played.
Yeah, so rich sound.
So did your mom play in your house a lot? Was she often playing traditional Japanese music?
Oh, you mean the by koto and shamisen?
Yeah, koto or shamisen.
She was. Actually, when I was young, she was playing that koto, especially koto, a lot. And, you know, also she used to wear kimono every day. And a lot of people were wondering, why is she wearing kimono? You know, because it's not really, you know, the normal thing. People don't wear kimono every day.
Sure, that era has kind of passed.
Right. Yeah. So, but she said it's more comfortable for me. That's what she was telling me. And wow. So, and she plays koto and then wears kimono. I guess it's very traditional.
Yeah.
Person.
Was your house traditional? Did it, you know, tatami floors and no chairs and that kind of thing? Or did you
it was just normal thing. Everybody had tatami and then sit on the floor those days.
Yeah.
Now it's changed and still have tatami somewhere in the house, but more like sitting on a chair. But those days we were still sitting on the floor. It
sure.
was just everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. But also my mom was listening all kind of music and she listened to a lot of classic music, also jazz. But I wasn't paying attention. She was listening to jazz so much. But later I realized she knew a lot about jazz and then she can sing a lot of jazz standards in English, and even she doesn't know what that means. And I thought I was influenced definitely by my mom, you know, even realized.
Right, exactly. Kind of, it was there in the back of your mind even before you were aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And do you know how your mom got into jazz?
I think when she was a teenager, she was listening to radio all the time. and she loves Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Nat King Cole, those people. And
I agree with your mom.
if
Your mom and I have very similar tastes in music.
yes, and then she told me a while ago, she wrote a letter to Frank Sinatra in English because she loved him so much. So she studied and she learned how to write the letter. And then actually she got letter back from him. He with
Wow.
his signature and stuff, his sign. And I said, "Where is it?" And then she said, "I cannot find it."
Oh
I know. It's amazing. She got it. I don't know how many people got letter from Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, and I wonder how many letters he got from Japan, too. That's pretty cool.
Right. I know. Yes.
Well, let's pause in the story right there, and we'll pick up the story of your musical life on the next episode. But we're going to end each episode with you selecting a track for all of us to hear from one of your many recordings or live performances. And what have you chosen for us for this first episode?
How about Jealous Guy by John Lennon? That's from my latest album, Act Naturally, from JVC Victor.
And are you a Beatles or specifically John Lennon fan?
Not necessary. I listen to Beatles tunes a lot, but I just like some of the, compositions by everybody. I just, just some songs I can arrange to piano trio setting. Even I like it, I try it, it doesn't work as a trio. But some
Sure.
songs, just come out right.
So
So
when you first heard Jealous Guy, did you start thinking, "Oh, I think I know how I can make this into a trio tune?"
yes, I thought I can make it to trio setting. Also, I really like the song. Very simple, but it's kind of remind me of Japanese song too, like Asian
It's so
song.
funny
So.
you said that because I was going to say exactly that same thing, that this song, more than any other John Lennon tune that I can think of, sounds like it could be a traditional Japanese melody.
I know. I
Yeah.
think he was influenced by Yoko.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Well, from one Yoko to another, it's been fun to talk to you. We'll come back next episode and do it some more. And meanwhile, for all the listeners, please enjoy the Yoko Miwa Trio playing John Lennon's Jealous Guy.